is beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Then whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Tex Mars, you're judgmental, you're narrow-minded, you're hateful, you're bigoted, you're a liar, you're ignorant, you're stupid, you're hard, you're unfeeling, you're sadistic, you're prudish. You're insensitive, you're anti-Semitic, you're stunted emotionally. Well, you know, I've heard these accusations made about me over and over again. I'll tell you, if they were true, it could sure break a person's heart if they had a conscience, but these people that make these accusations say that Tex Mars doesn't even have a conscience. So I'm going to ask you some questions today, my friends, here at Bible Home Church as your pastor. I'd like for you to judge whether or not these things are so about Tex Mars. I believe that they're false. But you see, I believe the Bible says to judge. And today we're going to be discussing, in fact, we're going to be starting a new series discussing one of the most important, primary, and really, it's just the most overwhelming bit of Bible doctrine that there is. It has to do with judging. And the title of our sermon series that we begin today is Judge Not? You've all heard judge not. Well, you know, I don't want to re-paraphrase Jesus. I'm no one to do that, but from a perspective of a Bible student, I want to ask that question today. Judge not? Should Christians judge others? Should we judge sinners? Should we judge the saints? A lot of people say we should not. A lot of people say that we should do what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not, that ye be not judged. Well, of course, we all want to do what Jesus said to do. But on the other hand, when I began this program, my friends, I gave you the opportunity, I even implored and begged you to judge me. Yes, to judge me. I'm giving you an opportunity today to judge. But should you judge? What will befall you if you do judge, Tex Mars? What if you don't exercise righteous judgment? What if your judgment is not true? What if you are narrow-minded, hateful, bigoted, bloodthirsty, cold, unfeeling, sadistic, like Tex Mars has been accused of? What will happen to you if you judge me? Well, these are some questions in, you see, I want you to think about just a little bit. You know, but before we begin that series today, we're going to look at the love of God. A lot of people, you see, don't believe that God is a God of judgment. They just believe in the love of God. Well, I like to start off a sermon series like this with the love of God. Because, you see, I believe that God, being a judge, is a judge who rules and decides on the basis of love. This is from the Mountain Homecoming album, the Gaither Gospel Series. I'm sure it's available at most Christian bookstores. And it's the Homecoming Friends, so I suppose it's a lot of people. You know, they sit around together, some of the old gospel greats and some young folks too as well. You may have seen them on TV or on video. And this is one of the tunes from that album. I sort of love it because it's nice and pleasant, and it's about a subject I really enjoy, the love of God. Here are the Homecoming Friends, and your pastor will be back with his message right after this. That was The Love of God by the Homecoming Friends. Well, you know, I believe that I have to confess, probably more than any man in America, I've been called hateful names. Now, I want to emphasize, I have some people who do love me. My wife, my mother, my sisters, maybe the folks here in the ministry, and you know, I really believe that there's a lot of wonderful Christian people, men and women and children out there listening to my voice now who also love me. And you love me, my friends, because you know I love you also. I think Jesus Christ loves me and I love him. John said in the Bible that God is love. And yet, I believe the reason most people, if they do dislike me, and I've had friends who tell me, you know, you either love Tex Mors or you hate him. No one is neutral toward Tex Mors. Well, of course, I want to be loved by everyone. I would like to be loved by everyone. Some people don't think so. They say, Tex, you've just got skin like an armadillo, like a crocodile. Your skin must really be hard. No, that's not true at all. I'm really a very soft person. and I get hurt very quickly. But on the other hand, God has given me the strength to withstand the slings and the arrows of the adversary. You see, I realize something that a lot of people don't, and that is that when you stand up for what's right, when you stand up for Christ in a world of antichrist, well, you're going to have enemies. You're going to have those who oppose you. It comes with the territory. Do I mind being called names? Well, of course I do. But on the other hand, that's what I'm here for. You know, to whom much is given, much is required. And I believe that salvation, my good friends, is much. And it's been given me. Has it been given you? For if it has, then you owe God a great debt. And it's no big thing for us to obey Him. I received a letter just yesterday from an evangelist friend from Gulfport, Mississippi. He said, "Brother Tex, one of your books, Circle of Intrigue, is a tremendous book. But," he said, "I can't find it in any Christian bookstores today." And he said, "I think I know why." He said, "I've gone to Christian bookstores, and they've admitted to me, the owners of those stores, that they purposely don't carry your books, even though there's great demand for those books. Many people come into the bookstores asking for books by Tex Morse, but," he said, "they don't want to carry your books because they're angry at you because you've named names and exposed false teachers. And they just don't want anything to do with you because of that. So they're censoring you because you're so controversial." Well, the evangelist friend said, "But Brother Tex, if you'll tell me how I can get a hold of your books, I'd like to buy them. I'd like to buy a large quantity. And as I go around to churches," and he gave me a list of churches that he's scheduled to be at just over the next 3 months. And the list was so long, I couldn't even count them all. Have to get a calculating machine practically. A very popular evangelist. He said, "I'm going to personally take your books around to churches and offer them to people so that they can take advantage of this truth." Now, friends, I'm telling you this not to PR, promote, or advertise any of my books. You know I don't do that here on the air. We don't offer my books through Bible Home Church. They're not available through Bible Home Church. I believe this is probably the first time I've even mentioned a title of any of my books. But it's illustrative of this fact. If you stand up for God, you're going to pay a price. Well, I wrote back the gentleman and I thanked him. And I told him that this was no big thing. You know, is this the only suffering that I will have to do for obeying Christ? Losing some miserable sales of my books? Is that the only price? What a puny thing to pay. When we know that Christ Jesus suffered so on the cross, we know that His disciples, the early Christians, were persecuted without end, fed to the lions, their bodies torn apart, rocks tied to their bodies, and they were thrown into the depths of the sea. So, you see, the fact that I have to pay something because my books are not found in many bookstores doesn't bother me at all. Because I believe that God will cause everyone to read those books that He desires. I don't need bookstores necessarily, although I think I do have some friends among bookstore owners. But even if I had none, that doesn't matter. One man sent me a manuscript one time and he said, "Tex, I can't get anybody to publish this. Do you think it's a good book? And can you help me?" I read the book. It was a wonderful book, extolling Christ Jesus and giving some very good pointers from the Bible and Scripture. But I wrote the man back and I told him, "I can see why your book won't get published, because Christian publishers today are not looking for fine Christian books. They're looking for celebrity books by big names. They're looking for books that they can promote at Walden Books and B. Dalton and book stores that are of a secular nature so they can make a mint, make a lot of money from them. They don't necessarily want good doctrinal Christian books today, teaching books." He wrote me back again and he said, "What can I do? I feel that God called me to write this book." He said, right now, I've gone down and personally printed up 20 copies, and I have bound them at a cheap bindery. Surely God didn't cause me to spend all this time for just 20 copies of a book. I wrote him back and I said, that may very well be the case. You see, maybe there are 20 people out there somewhere God wants to read this truth that you've written about. Don't diminish the importance of your book to those 20 souls, 20 hearts and minds. Distribute your book and do what God wants you to do. You see, my friends, it's not a matter of numbers. We can tell you here how many people have joined Bible Home Church, and we invite you to become a member of Bible Home Church. Write us. Tell us that you love Jesus, that you are saved, you repented of your sins, you want to be a member of this church. And we'll let you be a member of this church by your own profession of faith. You say, well, I live in Minneapolis. I live in Toledo. I live in Easton, Pennsylvania. Well, that doesn't matter to Jesus. He's there where you are, and he's right here where we are. So we can be of one church, of one mind, gathered with him. But you see, if you do join this church, you'll probably be called some bad names. Because we believe in standing up for righteousness. Now today, I want to continue to talk about judge not question mark. Should Christians judge? Well, you know, as I said, every day I'm being judged by people. I go on so many radio shows and talk about different subjects, and people will call in and chastise me and say, Tex Mars, you're a horrible person. You're narrow-minded. You're dogmatic. You're inflexible. You're prude. You're a prudish person. You're non-progressive. You're a dangerous, terroristic, murderous type person because you don't believe in tolerance. You're against the woman's right to choose an abortion. You're against all religions coming together in love and harmony. You're standing out for that exclusive Christianity. You're saying that only through Jesus can a person enter the kingdom of heaven. So you're an anti-Semite because Jews who reject Jesus, you say, are doomed to hell. What a horrible person you are. And I always ask these people, and by the way, they always tell me, Tex Mars, judge not that ye be not judged. Some even quote the Bible. They even actually know the verse. Most people just say, Jesus said, judge not. That's about all they know. They don't know where it came from in the Bible. I think that's the only verse they know. Matthew 7, verse 1. The problem is they take it out of context. And we're going to keep it in context here, my friends, today. And we're going to go into Matthew and you'll see exactly what Jesus said. But when people tell me these things, I always respond and I say, well, sir, aren't you judging me? Ma'am, are you not judging me? You've just called me names. You've said I'm narrow-minded. You've said I'm insensitive. You said that I'm stupid, that I'm hateful. You said that I'm unfeeling, that I'm a prude, that I'm a fool. That I have no feelings. You say that I'm a dangerous person because of my intolerance of other people's beliefs. And then I ask them this question, who are you to judge me? What gave you the right to judge? And you know, they usually about that time get tongue-tied because they've just told me, judge not, but they've called to harangue me, to chew me out. They think they can just eat me up one side and down the other. And all the time they're judging me. You see, my friends, the only person evidently you can judge in this world of ours are Christians. The world believes it can judge Christians. I remember during the scandals of Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart, the whole world judged Reverend Jimmy Swaggart. The whole world judged Jim Baker, made fun of him, mocked him. Call them the worst names possible. Now, whether the world, and I certainly include the news media in that phrase, whether the world was right or wrong is irrelevant. Because this is the same world that whenever you as a Christian judge sin or sinful behavior, they tell you, shut up, judge not. But they feel it's okay and acceptable, the right thing, and they with glee celebrate when they see a Christian fall. And they can't wait to get before their TV cameras, and you can almost see the smut and the slime coming out of their jowls and out of the sides of the mouth of the Ted Koppels and the Katie Couric's and all the others. Wouldn't they love Tex Mars to fall? Wouldn't they love to see some kind of a sexual scandal or a financial scandal or something of this ministry? Indeed, they would. They would love to judge me. And they would be quick. They would run fast to their broadcast studios and say, another Christian leader bit the dust. Now listen to me, friends. If you're a true Christian, the whole world is waiting for you to fall. You see, the Bible says that Satan is that great devourer. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. Peter was the one perhaps closest to Jesus. But even Peter, Jesus said, Satan wants to take you and sift you. You know what sifting means, my friends? It's what they used to do in the days of flour when they still had little particles in it. And they would have to take some kind of a filter, a sieve, and filter that flour to get out all of the particles of dirt and, you know, the things that shouldn't be, that were unwholesome. And Satan wanted to take Peter and sift him about. I'm telling you, my friends, Satan wants to take you and manipulate you and use you and sift you about. And he has millions of people in the world waiting for you to fall. And when you don't fall, they will still judge you. You see, Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart, even if they had not fallen, would have still been judged and were judged. Constantly, never ending, by the world. So the very world that says judge not is quick to judge Christians. And you know, I don't mind that so much. It is hypocritical. They are hypocrites. They judge us without hesitation, without mercy. They pronounce their edict. They proclaim as if they were some kind of imperial Roman judges. They proclaim all kinds of things about Christians. But you know, I think that's one of the reasons why we need to keep our lives in order. We need to trust in Jesus and stay close to Him. Our example. I believe that's how many are led to Christ, through the example. That's how I was led to Christ. Because I saw people in the church that I had been invited to who truly were living a happy and contented life, and we're following Christ Jesus. I saw grown men who were good. And I said, I want to be like them. How can they be so good? And you know, they told me, I'm not good in of myself, Tex, but Christ Jesus through me. And I said, I want Christ Jesus also. I want to have that goodness. So my friends, let the world judge us. Let the world be hypocritical. Let them even judge us, even as they holler at us and tell us, you, Christian, judge not. And let us, knowing that we are judged each and every day, so conduct ourselves that we can stand under the most harsh judgment of the sinners. Now, that doesn't mean, you see, that they're going to love you anyway. I believe the more that you are Christ-like, the more the world will hate you. You have to understand they hated Christ Jesus. No one can be more Christ-like than the Christ himself. But they hated him. And they demanded he be put to death. Why? Because they didn't want him around them. They couldn't stand the love and the power of goodness that was in Christ Jesus. I'll never forget the man that was in the tombs. You'll remember that. the Gadarene. And Jesus came close, and when he did, the demons in the man cried out. Now, I want you to understand, when you as a Christian just go close to a sinner, it makes the devils in those people, or even in their own flesh, cry out in agony. And they'll want to get rid of you. And so they judge you very quickly, very harshly. Because Satan is a hypocrite. And he judges you as a hypocrite. But if you judge, they will say to you, judge not. Well, Jesus, of course, came not to judge the world, but he will judge the world. He came because he wants no one to perish, but there will be many who perish. You know, Acts 17, verse 31 says that Jesus will judge the world in righteousness. You say, well, how will he know the good that men have done and the evil they have done? Oh, well, you need to read Revelation. And you need to read Romans, for example, chapter 2, verse 16. It says, God shall judge the secrets of men. Yes, Jesus Christ is coming again. It says in Revelation 19, verse 11, he doth judge and make war. Well, we're about out of time for today, but we're going to continue next week with part two of Judge Not. This is Pastor Tex Mars. You've been listening to Bible Home Church. Hope you'll tune in again next week as we continue to exalt our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.